love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is April 11th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Miss Sylvia Latham. And it's only by the grace of God that Sylvia is with us today. She's a victim of child abuse, incest, and rape. She's alive here today to tell her story to others who need help, hope, healing, and restoration. After years of sexual, mental, and physical abuse, Latham is a born-again Christian. Sylvia has written a powerful, inspirational book called The Unlatched Door, about the story of her life as both a victim and a survivor of unimaginable circumstances of child abuse. Sylvia is now an inspirational speaker and has a passion for helping children, teens, and parents transform and empower their lives. She believes that building a stronger bond between parents and children will create a better relationship so that children won't be afraid to communicate about any issues they may have. So it's going to be a great show tonight, so please stay tuned. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-826-7273. And you can log in and listen live at www.blogtalkradio.com/thestreetsdontloveyouback. Let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in every week at the show. And we thank everybody for supporting our radio show and supporting our movement. And without further ado, we're going to bring our guest on, and we're going to have her formally introduce herself, and we're going to go ahead and get this powerful message started. So we're going to pass the mic over to Ms. Sylvia.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Sylvia.
Hi, Lucinda and Mr. Boyd. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, no problem.
We're happy to have you on the show. And thank you for staying up. We know it's kind of laid out where you're at. Tell us a little bit about, well, we know you were abused. I did finish your book today. It was awesome. A powerful story and a powerful message that you have to share, and especially the healing part of it, that to let people know that they can get through it.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the beginning, and I don't know if you've regained any of your memories from those first few years, but tell us what you remember from the very beginning and some of the things that you went through.
Well, I don't have memories right at the beginning. I lost approximately 11 and a half years of my life. Starting from 11 and a half on down, there is nothing there but a big space. But the things that I do remember is roughly around 12, I was constantly abused, and I had no happiness growing up. I suffered through all types of abuse. I've been raped by women and men. I've been raped by strangers. I suffered through suicide since I was age of 13. For the about 15 years, I've suffered with suicidal attempts and tried to act on them as well. I was a homeless child. I went through days of having no food, pretty much raised myself because I had no mother or no father. And my mother always told me since the day she was carrying me in her womb, she knew I would be a curse. And my father abandoned me. He wanted nothing to do with me. And so trying to get help through this pain, I went to her aunt to tell her about some of the molestations that was going on in the family with an uncle. And she told me at the age of 13, go somewhere and sit down. You will be okay. And so nothing was resolved then. And instead of something being resolved, that uncle not only raped me, but he began to physically abuse me as well because he was angry at me telling. But it helped the other children that he was raping over 30-something grandchildren, and it did get them to open up and to express that they too also was abused. But it still didn't change anything because nobody did anything about it. And because nobody allowed me to talk about it, I shut it up inside, and I just, you know, just pretty much deteriorated in my soul. And I wanted nothing to do with life, people, God, anything. And so I pretty much I tried to bury it, but I really couldn't because it was haunting me throughout my entire life. So that's why I tried to commit suicide and whatever else I tried to do to get rid of myself.
Wow, that's heavy for a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. You talk in your book about your mom not being there, but she had mental problems of her own as well.
Yes.
But she tells you over and over that she doesn't really, I mean, the way she treats you, it's just like she hated you.
Yes, yes. Whew, that is, wow. Well, I still have more healing to go because, as you can see, you read the book, and anybody who has read my book don't understand how in the world I was able to make it through, to survive. Not even the editor. It ran her blood pressure up twice because she thought she was just editing a book about, you know, some, you know, just a little bit of abuse, but she found out that I got a break from anything. And everybody keeps wondering, how did I make it through this? And at the time, at that age, I didn't know how I was making it through. But now I know that God was keeping me for such a time as this to help other people who have suffered through a sexual abuse, a mental, physical, emotional, even childhood bullying, who thinking about suicide, all those things that I went through. I believe that I went through a tremendous amount of abuse to be able to help people so they won't be able to compare my life. For instance, they may say, oh, I've been through that, but you don't know about this. Well, I do because I suffered through it all. I know what it's like to eat off the streets. I know what it's like to live in abandoned homes. I know what it's like to be bullied by other children. You know, I know what it's like to not have a mother or a father. I know what that's like. So it's not, I don't have anything that I can't offer to someone to help them get through their pain.
Right. And that abandonment, I mean, that was even before the abuse.
Yes.
Let me ask, was your mother also a drug user?
No, my mother had never been on drugs. A lot of people ask me that. I found out while writing the book, I got some information from a family member of mine that my grandmother and my mother and all of her sisters were abused growing up. And for some reason, it affected my mother more than it affected her siblings. So it affected her to the point where she'd been through what I've been through, except for it took her mind.
Right, and then she couldn't connect with you for some reason.
Right.
You know, I asked you that question because the behaviors that you talk about that your mom had in the book reminded me of the same thing that a drug user had. And I can see that with mental issues, it would have the same effect. But, I mean, she spent all of the welfare checks that she got on clothes and things for herself to go out and do things and never bought groceries for the house. And you were hungry. And then she would drop you off at different people's houses for days at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just kind of the same kind of behaviors as a drug user, but
it
I
is.
Can see that if she had mental mm-hmm. issues, that would be something else, but...
Yes, it is. I tell a lot of people that because a lot of people ask me that question, and I always say that when someone is schizophrenic, because my mother was diagnosed schizophrenic 10 years ago when I tried to get her some help, and the psychiatrist said that my mother was abused. This is why she has been diagnosed with schizophrenic. However, my mother, just like me, the first 11 years of my life is gone. My mother doesn't know anything. All she keeps saying is, she's 60 years old now, and the only thing she keeps stating to me is she has been abused. She needs help. She's been abused. All my life I had to fight my brothers, and that's it. You will get anything else. You won't get anything else. So it's not like I can go to my mother and say, hey, Ma, why did you leave me here? Hey, Ma, why did, you know, these people was doing this to me? My therapist told me it's a waste of time. Don't even try, because her mind is not in a place where she can even understand where I'm talking about. And so I say about 15 years ago, I tried to ask my mother, I believe I was maybe about 20 years old, and I asked her, I said, Mom, why did you keep me out of school so much? And she told me that it was my fault. And I was just trying to figure out how was it my fault when she never was around. And I didn't understand growing up. A lot of children don't understand growing up that their parents have some type of issues going on mentally in their minds. And so, you know, I just hated her for the things that she'd done to me. My mother has 16 different personalities. She can be you, me, and Mr. Boyd and a whole bunch of other people all at one time. So you never know what I was going to get. You know, you never know what kind of day I was going to have. I hated life. I didn't even want to wake up. Most people say they can't wake up to another day. I didn't want to take another breath. And I didn't have nobody to talk to, nobody to deal. Nobody wanted to help me. Nobody dealt with me. Nobody put me in counseling. I just put myself in counseling 2 years ago, and I'm an adult. Nobody helped me through anything. It just so happens that I asked God, if he's real, then he can change the situation and turn it around for me. And he did that for me 5 years ago.
Right. And that was a big challenge for you, because a lot of people that abused you as well claim to be Christian or churchgoers. So that was another big hurdle you had to get over.
Yes. Yes. Big time. That was... Whew, I said, it's by the grace of God that I am a Christian today, because, like you stated, a lot of people who abuse me, even women, I was raped by two women twice, and that was really hard for me. And even with my husband, I never told him that until, you know, I've been married 11 years. I've never told my husband I was raped by women until he had to read the book when it came out. He had to read it to see what was actually going on. He knew that I was abused, but he didn't know to the extent that I actually went through.
Wow. And he probably loved you no less. He probably loved you even more.
Yes, he did. He was very hurt when he read the book. He was already hurt because he knew my story, but when he read the book, like you said, black and white is different from when somebody is plain. And black and white is very different because I was able to sit down and just put everything into the book, you know, because you can't get 20 years of pain into a 30-minute conversation. you know. So it was great because the book was very therapeutic. It was therapeutic to me, and it helps a lot of people. It inspires a lot of people. I did a speaking engagement a few months ago, and a little girl said, "Mommy, Mommy, buy her book because I've been abused." I didn't even know who these people were, but the lady came up to me after I got done speaking, and she bought the book, and, you know, and I knew that by the look on her face when her 8-year-old daughter told her she has been abused just by me talking. So I know that talking helps. Shutting it out and not dealing with it doesn't help, because I noticed that since I wrote the book and the more I speak and the more I'm on television and radio, the more people are coming out. I was on the radio and the 80-year-old lady, she couldn't even hardly talk, because she was so choked up from the pain from when I was talking. She remembered when she was living in cars at 11 years old, and she was abused as well. But she was getting help by just me coming out talking about it. And so it was like a relief to her. And she couldn't even, it was 80 years old. She couldn't even, and she was still stuck like she was 8 years old.
Yeah, you know, you don't talk about her all those years.
Yeah, so my youngest victim was 8 years old, and my oldest victim was 80. I speak at the girls' home. I spoke at the girls' home last week, and the girls from 7 to 17-year-old, they were so glad that I came. We were all crying like family, because those girls remind me of who I was when I was their age. And one of the girls, they had so many questions. I've never seen teenagers raise their hand this much, not even in school. They don't even raise their hand this much. And some of them had 7 to 8 questions apiece. And one of the girls said that, and this were all race, this were all different type of cultures that I was talking to. So it's no certain race that this is happening to. It's no certain agenda, anything. So I talked to a young lady. She was 15 years old. She said her friend, her best friend last year, blew her brains out because she was raped by her mother's boyfriend, and her mother and nobody helped her. So she found, the only way she thought could find out was to kill herself, and that's what she did. And the young girl, she just broke down in tears. So, you know, they were very inspired. I meet rape victims all the time from all different ages, and they are very inspired about what I'm doing and how I'm trying to help people overcome this pain.
Right. And it is painful, and people don't talk about it. And like you say, you know, you tried to tell your aunt about it, and your uncle was not only molesting you, but other children in the family too, but the adults in the family wanted to hide it, and most of the time they would protect him and not the kids.
Exactly. And still today, I don't have any support. I'm still rejected by my family. I don't understand. I've been rejected from the day. Looked like I was, like my mom said, cursed since the day I was in her womb. But this is the thing, I'm coming out to help other people, even in my family, who have suffered through this. And it's like they're mad because I'm talking about it, you know. And it's like that same uncle that abused us when we were growing up, 2 years ago, he took a 10-year-old girl off the street as she was walking to school, but she never made it because that uncle grabbed her, pulled her in a burnt, abandoned building. I know you read it and you saw it, and he repeatedly raped her and threatened her life. Okay, well, now it has been proven that he's done this, and he's serving 30 years in prison for this. But all of this could have been avoided if someone had done something about this 20 years ago when I was talking about it.
Right. Exactly.
Now, the little girl is suffering. Who knows what's going on through this little girl's mind? I'm sure she feels suicidal just like I was. Hopefully she's getting the help and the support that she needs. But it's an ongoing thing, and it's an ongoing thing. You're going to constantly need help just like a drug addiction. It's like you're constantly going to need help to help you press through this to keep you strong because, you know, I was in therapy one day and my therapist said, Sylvia, the reason why you don't have your 11 and a half year of your life, you missed it. The reason why I blocked is because the brain protects itself because if my brain had to let me knew what more happened to me before the times I remember, I would not be here today talking to you. My therapist told me that something more traumatizing happened to me before the rapes and different things. She believed I had been traumatized way well before the age of 11 and a half, 12. That's why it's blocked like that.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that, yeah, your mind, and it does that with a lot of people. It'll just block out parts of your life that you don't want to remember or that your brain doesn't want to remember because they are too painful, and that happens with a lot of different trauma situations. You know, and I was reading that. I was reading your book. I was thinking that, too. You know, I said all this time before that, something – you know, you were probably abused or, you know, maybe even something that made your mom even more traumatized that she knew maybe. I don't know. But
My mother treated me like I was contagious, like she hated me. Like, you know, and it was like she never even wanted me. It was like I was a curse to her or something, you know. And I would never be able to get the answers that I want from her because her mind is not right. So my therapist just kept saying to me, don't even try. I may bring out something in my mom that's even worse than what she's dealing with today. It may worsen the situation. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, and from what I read, though, her mind wasn't right even when you were as a child because what mother leaves their child at 3 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old with strangers and different people for days at a time?
Yeah.
And you home alone for days at a time.
And with
not
no
having
food.
Any food.
No food. I'm telling you, it's like torment from hell. Then I went through, and for 20 years I had not slept. I just started sleeping maybe like the last 4 years of my life because I have not slept well, and I didn't know what my issue was. My issue was I haven't dealt with any of the pain and the suffering that I grew up with, and I don't see how anyone, some things you want to forget, but it travels with you if you don't deal with it. It just traveled with me. I didn't ask it to travel with me as I came into an adult and came over to my adulthood. I didn't ask it to travel with me. It just came with me.
Right. And what was harder for you to get over, the abandonment issues or the sexual abuse and physical abuse issues?
Oh, my goodness. Do I have a choice?
It probably all goes together as one.
Right.
And none of them were easy, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. I have absolutely no idea. I'm telling you, I battle with it all equal. I battle with it all. The rejection, I can tell, may last it a little longer because I still, even as I go out and I try to bring abuse awareness to the community and I'll have abuse awareness conferences, I try to keep them going frequently just to bring awareness to what is going on and even how to help your children if they've been abused and you may not know it. I feel rejected, like the people are not really interested. They're interested because I met hundreds of abused people. They're interested. It's just that they're not focusing on trying to deal with that pain. And it feels like I'm rejected, but I don't feel like I'm the one that's rejected. I actually believe that the devil blinds people's minds so they won't be able to get the help that they can receive, because I believe that your pain can be turned into power, because mine has been turned into power, and now all I do is go out and reach the next person so that they can be able to be healed and so that they can be able to live their lives that were stolen from them, and then they can, once they get their lives back, they're able to have enough strength to help somebody else. So it's all about helping somebody else get through the stages of their life. It takes time, but I believe that rejection, being rejected from the time I was in my mother's womb, and then when I was born, my father didn't want anything to do with me. And so that rejection just carried throughout my life. And like I said, I still kind of like carry it, I can tell. And even though God is making ways and opening up doors for me to be able to speak, it's like that little bit of rejection. Just, you know, it's like a hard time getting over that little piece of hurdle. Like, wow, I know I can get through this, and I'm excited about the things that I'm doing. But I don't know why this is like this rejection. It's just hard to just, like, kick. And I know I'm going to kick it, but it's like I never had that bond with my mother, and I never had that bond with my father. I met my father when I was 12 years old, and somebody had seen him. I think one of my aunts had seen him from just getting out of prison, and she said, "You better go see your daughter. She's 12 years old. You've never met her." And I met him, and then the second day he came back to the house, I heard him tell my mother if he can't have a relationship with my mother, he wanted nothing to do with me. He don't want anything to do with me. And that was the last time I seen him, and it just, like, broke my heart, because you can hear parents telling you that your father doesn't want you, but until you hear it yourself, it's like no other words. And just that rejection of that, and my mom, and nobody is helping me get through rape, and no, I'm sitting around everybody and nobody knows that I'm suicidal, you know, and it's just not caring. Just people just not caring, and knowing, some of them knowing, but they still not caring. And so that rejection is really, like, a real hard one to bite for me.
Right. And even, you know, when you tell us a little bit, what could you tell the kids now about, because even though you had the rejection at home, you had the rejection at school too, and I don't know if it was maybe your self-esteem, but you did say, have some stories in your book of other kids trying to beat you up and trying to put you down. And, you know, what can you tell the kids nowadays about being bullied at school?
Oh, my goodness, that's a tough one. First thing, tell somebody. I always say you tell someone. You can tell the principal. You can tell the teacher. If that doesn't work, then you go to a higher source. If you're in a church, you can tell a pastor. If your parents is not listening, you can find someone. Find someone you can trust. And maybe that person can lead you to authorities to be able to get you some help, because you have to keep pushing. One of the things that children do is they'll do like I did when I was 13, when my aunt said, "Oh, well, you know, you'll be okay. Go somewhere and sit down." And so in my mind, I'm thinking, and my lips is moving, go somewhere. Now, I knew better not to talk back, because I wasn't that type of child, because you would be in some really big trouble in those days talking back. So in my mind, I'm thinking, go somewhere and sit down. I would never tell nobody anything else, because I went to my head aunt, who took over after my grandmother died, And are you serious? You want to tell me sit down as I just told you something big like this? And so a lot of children, when they go to someone, a parent or someone, and they may not get the help. Well, if you can trust someone in your school, they're a teacher that you may like or what have you, you can go to that teacher. And hopefully that teacher will see what you're going through and will take it much farther into getting some results for you. I say never stop. Never stop talking. I don't care who tells you. I don't care if it's your parents that's telling you, you know, to forget about it, leave it alone, or tries to sweep it under the rug. You keep telling, keep telling, keep going until you find someone that can help you. Because if you don't, I always tell people, if you don't help your child, they will hate you when they grow up. Trust me, I know that's a big word, but they will resent you, and they will get into all kinds of trouble growing up, because the first person who was supposed to give them nurturing and to teach them and to protect them, if you don't do it, they will resent you for it.
Right.
And I know it's the truth because I'm a living witness, and a lot of children who parents don't help them and the teachers don't help them, that most of those children, they don't even succeed well in life. They don't succeed well. And we wonder why they're going down the drain. It's because somebody didn't do their job, whether it was the teacher, your parents, your grandparents, somebody didn't do the job.
Right.
And so I encourage children, don't give up. Is somebody out here that you can trust? It is someone out here that you can trust. And they will get you some help, but you can't stop. Just like I helped a little girl when I did a speaking engagement. I helped a little girl I didn't even, never knew. I never laid eyes on her, her and her mother. But because she heard me talking, she said, "Mommy, Mommy, buy her book because I've been abused." And her mother had this shocked face on her as if she hadn't had a clue. Okay, maybe she didn't have a clue, but I have children, and almost every time I turn around, my daughter is telling me about somebody had been abused in their home, and the parents do know about it. They know about it, and they're not doing anything about it.
Right. That's a sad thing. I mean, it's bad enough when the parents don't know, but when they do know and they don't do anything about it, you know, that's just unbelievable.
And that's what made my husband very upset when he read my book, because he's like, wait a minute, here you are a child. Nobody does anything. And that's why children, we don't talk. When you don't help us, we don't talk. And so when we grow up, and we have all these issues, and then you're trying to figure out what's going on, the parents trying to figure out what's going on, the doctors trying to figure out, everybody's trying to, the law enforcement's trying to figure out what's going on, and they don't know. It all started from wherever that root of that pain is, that's what's going on.
Right.
The root of that pain, that's what created the problems of that teenage child that just can't seem to get it together.
Right.
I'm just telling the truth. It's a deep story, because, and a lot of times it's irritating to me, because I know that I can't rest until I'm helping the next person, whether I'm helping an adult or whether I'm helping a child. I could be helping a parent and a child together. Most parents, they go through the same thing their children, they went through the same thing their children has went through, but they won't even try to open up and try to get any help for themselves, so their children suffer. And now you got the parent and the child both been through the same thing, but nobody is saying anything.
Right, exactly.
You know, I was crying today because I heard on the radio this morning that a 55-year-old lady got her door kicked in at 3 a.m. this morning from a drunk 26-year-old male, kicked down her door, started beating her in the face, 55-year-old lady, and raped her, made her get in a tub and all this other stuff, and he raped her, and he told her, started calling out another lady's name, and I just cry. Come to find out that the guy passed out after he beat her and raped her because he was drunk. He was at the wrong apartment. The lady that he was looking for was not that 55-year-old disabled lady. A disabled lady got raped at 3 a.m.
Wow.
This morning.
Unbelievable.
This morning, and to come to find out, he don't even know the lady. He thought he went to the lady house. He knew, but he went up somewhere else and passed out.
Wow.
She called the police on her. I cried like I was a baby because I know that not only children are going through this pain, but adults are going through it, and they act as if they're okay. But they're not okay because it comes out in their attitude. It comes out in their behavior. You can see it comes out in them having multiple children, bad relationships. They can't hold on to a job. You can tell that it all comes out in this. And the root of the pain, I can guarantee you, is something that hurt them in the past and that they never dealt with.
Right. I was going to say, I'm a registered nurse, and I see so many teenagers that come through the hospitals, suicidal and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, and overdoses and drug overdoses and just all kinds of stuff. And I think to myself, you know, if we could only find out what's really going on with these kids, you know, they've probably been abused, neglected, abandoned, all those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too many young kids going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Too
many.
They get put on medication, and then that messes them up more.
And someone, I can guarantee, teach you, someone has told them not to talk about it. They better not say a word. And so they're holding all of that mess inside and all that corruption inside, and it's killing them. It's killing them. Let's just face it. It's killing them. Either the pain is going to kill them, or they're going to kill themselves, or they're going to kill someone else because they suffer in pain.
Right.
Something's going to happen.
They
I get a lot of husband,
and drugs and promiscuity and and hatred, you know, gangs,
prostitution,
whatever. Yeah,
a lot of prostitution came from sexual abuse, being raped. That caused a lot of that. I get a lot of when I go to the hospital and I present my books, and I go to the hospital and the nurses, they just buy the books and they just give me hugs and just tons of hugs from nurses, and I look like, wow, what's all the hugs coming from? Because I didn't grow up with hugs, so I cry a lot when I get hugs. It doesn't matter who gives me a hug. I didn't grow up with hugs or no one telling me they loved me. And so those hugs mean a lot. But when I see those nurses hugging me, one of the nurses said, "You don't know what we see when we come. We are glad that you are alive and did not, the suicidal did not defeat you, because you don't know what we see every day when we are working up in here."
Right, exactly.
The things that those nurses see.
Exactly. Yeah, there's too many people that have these secrets that, you know, these secrets eat you up alive. They will eat you alive.
Either they will eat you alive, or it will drive you so crazy where you want to blow your brains out. And they had I told you about the incident with the young girl, a best friend killed herself in Chicago. This was just a couple of months ago in Chicago. A 10-year-old girl hung herself. Her mother found her in a closet. She committed suicide. She hung herself, and she left a note behind and said that she was tired of being bullied in school. Now, I don't know if she had any abuse at home, but she surely wrote a note about the bullying in school had driven that girl to her death. And see, right. This has got to stop. This has got to stop because bullying could destroy you just like anything else.
Oh, for sure. You know, it's bad.
Can you imagine your child coming home just stressed out every day? You can't even get your work done. You're not thinking about classwork. You're not thinking about that. Your mind is so far away. You just want to get away from the pain. So the first thing children are going to do is they're going to reject themselves. Well, I wish I was never born.
Right.
You know, why is this happening to me? Why won't nobody help me? And that's why I wrote in my book that I really don't like it when adults say, oh, that's just children's problems. Let the kids handle kids' problems. No, children don't know how to handle problems. They don't know how to handle problems. You step in and help. And I'm finding out that most adults don't know how to handle problems as well, because if they did, their children wouldn't be so cruel to other kids.
Right. That's for sure. That's true. I'm going to hand the mic over to Boyd for a minute.
Okay.
Yes, I just want to say thanks once again for being on the show. And, you know, your message is very powerful out here to help these individuals that's going through sexual abuse, domestic violence, or different things of that nature. And I just want to ask you, what suggestion would you give to someone that's going through what you've done went through that's not came out and spoke about it? What would be your suggestion to that individual?
Whew, it's deep. First, I would try to show that them their self-worth, because they, people need to know that they have self-worth, regardless to what happened to them. They can make it. It's going to be hard, but encouraging them that they can make it and that they can look to God and be able to receive their healing and to be restored, because anything can be restored, even if it's been damaged. It can be restored. Look at it as your life is worth it. I used to think that my life was not worth it. There's a lot of people who are suffering through pain. A drug addiction, drug addicts, they turn their lives around. Your life can be turned around. Your life is worth something. It's worth you being restored.
Right.
And so that is what I offer to the people. I offer love, and it's going to take time. But think of it as you're doing something for yourself. For the first time,
right,
you can do something for yourself and get off off among anybody that's speaking negative that makes you feel like you can't make it. You can remove yourself from those type of people so that you can build strength to be
right,
restored.
Amen. You know, I'm with that. And, you know, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to play this one song that a young lady that's going to be on our show April 25th, Miss Field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had went through some abuse as well. And she have a song on here that's Everybody Hurts. So we're going to play that song for you. And just want you to vibe, you know, with that song. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Stay on the line. Welcome back to the Streets and Love You Back radio show. And that's a song by Miss Fields, Everybody Hurts. So we just wanted to send a shout out to Miss Fields. That will be on the show April 25th. And right back to Miss Sylvia. And once again, we just want to thank her for bringing her message to the show. And I wanted you to let everybody know where they can go purchase your book and give them your website and things like that. And if they need you to speak somewhere with a speaking engagement, give me information. You hear me, Sylvia?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, hello? I can hear you. Yeah,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes. That website is www.sylvialathan.com. And that is Sylvia with an I. So that's SylviaLathen. And I have all my information there where you can contact me, email me, give me a phone call. There's plenty of information there, you know, where you can purchase the book, even on Amazon.com. There, you know, just check out some information there and you'll be able to find what you need. Again, that's www.sylvialathan.com.
Sounds like a winner, you know. And any information you would like to give them that they need to receive as well, Miss Cynthia, Sylvia?
I was just hoping that that the listeners would tune in and to that website and, you know, purchase that book, because that book will change anybody's lives. It will make look at people's lives in a different way. You will be more caring, and even if you like the song said, everybody hurts. So
amen.
I'm sure you will find something where you've been mistreated. There are many things that you may be able to get out of the book to help you. I had one lady said, ever since she read my book, every child she come in contact with, she asks them, are they hungry? Did they have anything to eat today? So, you know, it
amen.
Makes a difference. It makes a difference. And, you know, you can also go to that website and donate to Restoration Foundation, which is my nonprofit organization. What happens is you can donate any amount, and what that does is it helps get these books out to children and families that are living in abandoned and living in shelters, because that is my heart's desire. Right now, I work in different shelters, telling my story and giving the books away. But
amen.
The books are expensive, so what I do is every other month I have abuse awareness conferences. And what I do with that is I charge a $10 fee, and everybody gets in. And what they're doing is it's a fundraiser for me to get these books out to homeless children who's been abused, and even families where their mothers and their children, and as well as men as well, because I'm finding out, since I wrote my book, I'm finding out that men, too, also have been abused. And my statistics shows that it's almost just as equal as women. So, you know, like the lady said, everybody hurts. That's what
amen,
I like her from.
Amen, sister. Well, we're glad that you elected Miss Fields' songs. And like I say, you can tune in April 25th when Miss Fields will be right here live on the Speak On Your Back radio show with her powerful message as well. And we just want to say I'm glad and proud of what you're doing. And, you know, that's what everybody need to be doing across America that got books out or doing something positive or, you know, just got something going on. You need to be holding some kind of fundraiser to give back to people who need it, because, like you said, everybody hurts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, words, just how you doing, are you all right, might help somebody's day out. You know what I mean? You never know. But you can't be frowned up all the time, because frowns don't make them right. You know what I mean? You might pass up your blessing frowning every time you walk into some place, you know?
Yeah. And start talking. The viewers, I want them to start talking, especially to the teens, because teens, they're easy to talk to. Even if it looks like they're having a day that looks like it's a little bit down or they seem to be a little bit depressed, I encouraged a young man at Walmart, and he said that I had a great career and I graduated from high school, but I got the I just had a baby, and it stopped me from playing football, and I can't go off to college to play football. I said, yes, you can. I said, you can go to college. I said, that baby's going to need you to be that football player. He said, that baby's going to need you to be that NFL player. And so, yes, you can. You can go back to school. I encouraged him I encouraged him to go in school, finish and play football, and I also encouraged him that he was going to get that job. And I came back 2 weeks later, and that young man, 17 years old, still remembered me, and he kept sweeping the floor at Walmart. And I'm wondering, I said, what does this young man keep getting in my way for? You know, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get out the door. And he looked at me, and he said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, who are you? He said, James, I'm the one that you was talking to and encouraged a couple of weeks ago. Guess what? And I looked at him, and he had the Walmart shirt on. I said, "You got the job." And he said, "Yeah." I gave him a big hug. Never seen this young man before. And I cried as though he was my own son. And at the time, I had sent my son away for college, and I hadn't heard from my son in about 3 weeks. And as soon as I gave that young man a hug and got to my vehicle, my phone was ringing with my son on the other line. Let me know he was okay.
Amen. You know, God is good, ain't he? You know?
Yeah. You know, so it's all about caring about somebody.
Amen, sister. I'm always with you on that, you know? So, yeah, we definitely like what you're doing, and I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. And
thank
keep
you.
Touching and helping save lives, you know? And I'm
yes.
Pass the mic
that
over
would be awesome.
Mission.
If you guys donate, that would be awesome because I go to the shelters and I give a book away, but you're talking about like 1,500 teenagers, 1,500
Amen.
Kids. And they're like, oh, my God, they're going ballistic over one
mm-hmm.
book, and I'm like, I got to have another conference because either somebody has to go to my website and donate, or I have to keep having conference because one book is not enough when you go into a shelter of 1,500 to 1,800 kids.
Amen.
It's just not enough to get around.
Yes, yes. So
I'm excited about it.
And you keep
you.
Doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight. You do have a powerful, powerful story, and you know I'm so happy that you overcame everything. And like you said, you know God did have a reason for you to get through that because He needs you now to help all these kids out here that are lost. You know, just like
yeah.
you were.
And it's really hard for me because, like you said, my mother is schizophrenic. And I can't. It's nothing I can do. I don't have the support. I don't have the support. So the only support that I have is God and the people. You know, I've met so many different people, and they just help me push to get my books out to facilities for free, and we just get them out. And you know, it's. I don't think about it costs too much, even when I have events. One girl came up to me when I had abuse awareness event last month, and she said that I inspired her. She was 14 years old, and she said that her brother had been raping her from 7 to 13, and someone just got her out of the home like a few months ago and started taking care of her. And my heart just melted. I just gave her a book. I didn't know. A lot of teenagers tell me that I inspire them.
Right. Now, I know you, with your own kids, did the total opposite of your mom. You, like, overprotected your kids. You always knew where they were, what they were doing. I mean,
yeah.
you were just always on them.
Yeah, and they all, I got on my first two I had, because I know you read in the book, I had them real young. They're in college. And my baby girl, she graduates next month from high school. She's going to school
That's
to be a therapist.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
awesome.
But my oldest daughter, she's going to school to be a police detective. And my son, Full Sail University, he's going to be a music producer. He knows how to create any and all kind of music. I don't care
awesome.
What you do, he can make it. So he's doing, that boy is awesome. And my baby girl, she said so many people got problems in the world. She was going to be a lawyer, but now she's finding out in high school that so many children, and I live in a suburban neighborhood, so my children are around multicultural, all sorts of kids. And she says, mommy, the kids going through so much. And somebody's always coming to her with a problem. And she said, Ma, I think I'm going to take up psychology. So she took up psychology in her last 12th grade year. And she's going to college.
I have to really commend you because even though you went through hell, you still took care of your siblings. You became a mother as a young teenage girl. with no support, and you raised your children, and I'm sure your siblings look up to you. And
yes.
I just really commend you for being strong and being tough and taking care of your kids the way that you have. You've got to be very proud.
Because I had suicide on my mind, but I never told my kids. I never told them. And actually, I just started talking to them about my life maybe about 7 years ago. My son, he won't touch the book because he feels it's going to make him angry. My youngest daughter that's getting ready to graduate from high school, she don't want to touch it. They're not ready for it.
Right.
And I understand. But my oldest daughter... It can make them very moody. you read the book, you can see. So they're not ready. I said, I'll probably be 80 years old by the time they're ready.
Right. So how has your husband been your support?
He goes everywhere with me, when I'm going out speaking, touring, if he can get off work, he'll come to the television station or what have you, and he is just, like, so supportive, even when I have my days where I feel like I'm overwhelmed, because sometimes that a little bit of thought will come there and say, how in the world did you go through this? And you still don't have the support of your, I have the support of my immediate household family, but I don't have, my other relatives, no support whatsoever. And I remember that my husband, he keeps me so lifted. To the point where a lot of days when I'm not feeling my best, I'll think about the love that he's given me because I gave him hell to pay, even growing up in our relationship. You're not a very good relationship person when you've been abused, and I rejected my husband a lot because he loves. See, he came from a loving family that hugs. They do a lot of hugging and a lot of appreciating each other and loving each other. And, see, I didn't come from that. So I thought he was crazy.
Right. It's different. You have to learn how to allow them to touch and hug. And when you're abused, sometimes you just, like, don't touch me.
Exactly. So he's a truck driver, so he has to get up for work in, like, 4 hours. But usually he's on the radio with me, but he didn't know it was going to be late.
we're up late.
Yeah. Wow. So he didn't know because he was like, I'm going on the radio with you. I'm like, no, you can go to bed today. He's very supportive, and I have hard days sometimes. Now, I don't have too many of them because people say I inspire them, but I feel like people inspire me because the more I'm able to get out and help somebody, it makes me want to keep going out to help somebody. It gives me that drive. I have a drive to do it because the people are receiving the help, and I'm like, wow. This is really my destiny here, and but I might have a little curveball. Every now and then I get a curveball where something just tells me, it's going to happen to you again. You'll be raped again, especially when you have those moments when you're by yourself and you're shopping and, it's a dangerous world and you don't know who's going to walk up on you. And it's like you can't let your guard down, but I know that God kept me alive for a reason, and it's not time for me to go. It's not time for me to go until I'm able to help everybody who I'm assigned to help. And I feel like I'm assigned to help millions and millions of people. I always felt like that. And even all of my doctors, they love me. And my Indian doctor, he said that he wished I was able to get my books over in India. So I told him, I said, hold on, it'll come. It will come. Right. It's a date. It's going to come where it's going. You know, somebody in India, if they listen to me, they can get it off Amazon.com.
Right.
You know,
well, they can get anything on the internet.
And there's a lot of wealthy people in India, too. Because I think about it. I think about all those countries where soliciting children for sex. And nobody knows what a seven-year-old is thinking when they're in this scary room and this adult is about to do God knows what to them. You don't know that. You can't even imagine. And to think that because they're 30 or 40 now, that is gone away from them and that doesn't hurt, then you have got to be out of your mind, because that is not going away from them.
Right.
That is not going away from them.
Exactly.
You can be healed, but you will never forget. It's like somebody shoots you in the face, and you're able to live through it, but you still have this bullet, you still have this hole in your face. And it's like you will never forget what happened to you, but you can heal from what happened to you. You don't have to let the bitterness take over, because I'm going to tell you something. That bitterness kills you more than the pain and suffering that caused the bitterness. The bitterness kills you more.
Right.
I can guarantee that, because the bitterness that I carried and the unforgiveness that hurted me looked like that was doing more damage than anything.
Right. Yeah. It certainly does. So, you know, it kills your soul, it kills your spirit, it kills so much of you. Until you, like you say, you just become this empty person.
You don't even know if you're coming or going or what. And you're empty. And when you have children, you're not going to give anything to them. Unless you're just so happens to be an unfortunate mom like me. Well, but my kids, I feel like they could have had more. They were shielded, which is good, but they were shielded to the point where I had them in a box, you know, and it was like even when they turned 15 or 16, they had to play in the backyard, or they would say, "Mom, I'm going out to ride my bike." I'll say, wait a minute. Let me get dressed, and we'll get all the bikes into the van, and we'll go and drive to a park. I'll drive to a park, and we'll ride our bikes together. You know, it was never, "Oh, let me go, my kids riding their bikes," and then 30 minutes later, I don't see my kids. I would have a heart attack.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's okay. I think your kids have done just fine.
My oldest daughter, she's going to school to be a private investigator. She loves anything that has to do with FBI, private investigator. She has read the book, and she was able to handle it, because she turned it around like it was a different character. She didn't put it like it was me. She had to make believe that it was somebody else's story. That's the only way she said she could handle it, because that book was like tearing her up inside.
Right.
So, and you know, you read the book, so you can imagine how it would have done.
It's very, very powerful book, and encourage everyone to go out and get it and read it and share it and talk to your kids about it and, you know, discuss it. And, you know, you have to have better communication between parents and kids and teachers and kids, and, you know, moms need to sit down with their daughters and let them know what to expect as they're becoming a young woman. And, you know, how to handle certain situations and
teachers are not all teachers. You know, just because you're a teacher doesn't make you a good teacher, because a good teacher would look into the bullying issue. They would look into more issues to find out, oh, well, I have a student here. Sylvia Lathan hasn't been to school in a whole week. You know, we need to find out what's going on. Not, oh, I missed 90 days of school and now we're about to find out what's going on. No, First of all, you don't wait till a person miss 90 days of school.
Exactly. And I think nowadays they're getting a little more stricter with truancy and trying to find out what's going on. But, you know, as, you know, you went through it, you said you went through like 10 different schools in 3 or 4 years.
Oh,
like that.
Lord.
And
have mercy.
So the teachers couldn't keep up with you.
I'll tell them, good luck. They will look for my mom. Well, I'll call your mom. Good luck. Because I've been to, I can't even call her. I don't know where she is or how you going to find her. You know,
right.
A lot of kids go through that in school. You'll be surprised. Like, kids don't tell adults what's going on. They tell it to another kid. So that's
right.
Like my daughter, a lot of teenagers tell her stuff. And she was like, Ma, I just don't understand why kids just tell me all their business. I said, because you listen. You listen to them. That's why they feel comfortable talking to you. You know, and I always say, well, we're going to pray for that child. But, no, this is what we do. Little Johnny will tell our son, you know, that their mother's boyfriend has done this to him. And then what we'll do is we might hear our five-year-old say, Johnny said, you know, his stepfather locks him up in a closet and makes him take off his clothes and does this to him. And then we'll say, oh, my goodness. And then when we see little Johnny at school, we won't even try to get involved. What we do, we'll tell our child, oh, come on, it's time to go home. And bye, little Johnny, see you tomorrow. No, you don't know if you're going to see little Johnny tomorrow or not. We don't know what's going on in these children's home. My daughter just came home and told me that their psychologist teacher showed them something on the Oprah Winfrey show where a young boy, what was he, 16 years old, blew his brains out because he was tired of being sexually abused. He shot himself in the head right next to his five-year-old brother, and his five-year-old brother has been mentally ill ever since he saw his brother blow his brains out right next to him.
I bet.
And the five-year-old has been mentally ill. The five-year-old has grown up, but he's been mentally ill ever since.
Wow.
Ever since. And see, all we do, we don't know what's going on. You can drive by everybody's house. You can just drive on your block. You don't know what's going on in those behind closed doors. You don't know when you drop your child off at the sitter's house, what's going on at the sitter's house. We had a lady been on a friend for 25 years, and she was raping all the kids in the daycare. A lady. And she said, I don't understand why the lady said, I don't understand why she did it to my son. We've been friends for 20-something years.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what's going on behind closed doors in anybody's house.
I'm telling you, this is so deep. It's like, that's why a lot of people and my agents and stuff, they love the book that I wrote because it's not just to make money off of it. It's to bring awareness, abuse awareness, to get down into the root of the problem to where you can get some results done from some of these children. Because if you don't, then the prison cells is going to run over. You're going to have drugs like never before. So many prostitution, so much prostitution. You're going to have young girls going to strip clubs, getting jobs at strip clubs. And, you know, and we're watching it and we're seeing it every day and we're wondering why, what's going on with the young people. Let the young people tell you what's really going on.
Right.
And by that time, it's going to be too late for you to try to step in because you should have stepped in before. It's not too late for them to get help. It's just that asking me at 38 years old why I was acting out as a child, you're a little bit too late. You'll be a little bit too late to be asking me why I'm acting out now because I'm not afraid of you and I'm not going to tell you what my real issue was. I'm not going to see. I might have didn't tell you that my real issue was you. was you when I was growing up because I was afraid of adults. But now I can tell you, my real issue is my family covering up abuse and neglect. That's my issue.
Exactly.
And so now you get this family who wants to, they want to fight you and come against you, and you're just telling them what the problem is. That's all I'm telling you what the problem is. And because if I love you, then I want to keep my mouth shut. But if you love your family, you keep your mouth shut. You keep the secrets buried. You bury the secrets, and that's the furthest from the truth.
Right.
That's the furthest from the truth.
You need to tell somebody, for sure.
Because you are hurting that person. If you love me, you will not tell me to hold such a secret that I can't even bear. I can't even stand to bear.
Right. I can't see how your aunt would not want to tell somebody when she knew it wasn't only happening to you. It was happening to your other cousins as well.
All of us. Boys
and yet,
girls.
You and your mother kicked you out at one point when you were a teenager and let your uncle, after he came out of jail, come and stay with her.
Yes. All of them did. Isn't that crazy? Everybody did. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people have my book. They might see me when I'm out or something, and they'll run up to me and say, "Hey, I have your book. Oh, my God, I just want to get my hands around your family. I just want to take one of somebody's men." And one of the security guys, she said, "Oh, my God, you're going to make everybody who reads your book, everybody's going to come after your family." Because, I mean, it will make you angry.
Yep.
See, how can you not help all of these children? And people, and a lot of people say, especially me, because my mother is schizophrenic.
Right.
Somebody just stepped in. And
all these children are growing up like you, and thank God that you were able to turn your life around, but a lot of people can't handle it or can't. And they...
Right.
Then
that's what my therapist says.
Troubled adults.
My therapist says.
And then they have troubled children, and the cycle continues.
Exactly. And that's what my therapist says, because when she found out all of my kids, all three of my children graduated from high school and in college, she said, "Sylvia, give yourself a pat on the back, because this is not the statistic. Do you know?" She said to me, "You need to go and do some research on statistics, because things that happen to parents, like what happened to you, they offsprings don't even turn out like yours."
Right.
She said you have to give yourself a pat on the shoulder for all that you did, and look at your children.
That's right.
And I was not really looking at it. I was just pushing my children, you know, always telling my children, "You're going to be something good." And thank God they all talented, and I pushed them into their areas. And thank God it didn't take a lot. They were motivated because I'm their number one cheerleader. And it's like,
you know what you did, Sylvia?
Huh?
You broke that cycle.
Yes.
You broke that cycle.
I did.
Your mom was abused. Her mom was probably abused. Your aunts were abused. Nobody wanted to deal with it.
Yes.
Sylvia dealt with it. Sylvia took care of business, and Sylvia took care of her kids, and you should be proud.
Thank you.
You broke that cycle of pain and abuse.
Thank you.
Give yourself a pat on the back. Tell your husband to give you a hug.
Yes, so I'm excited. I'm excited about it. And, you know, like I always say, if you can't help your children, there are many ways you can help your children, because when I was going through so much growing up, I didn't know how to help my children educational-wise. So I started, when my son started looking like he was not succeeding in certain classes, I would pay for a tutor. But, you know, you have parents, they want to get their hair and their nails done. You know, it's all about them. I would pay for tutors. If my children had an issue struggling somewhere, no problem, we're going to get someone. And check around the schools. They may have some tutors, children who know how to help tutor other children. And I will pay them, and I will fight. I'm telling you, I will be up at the school every day. The teachers, all they knew my face. And then by the time my son got in eighth grade, he has been an A and B student all the way straight out of high school. My daughters have been A's and B's straight through school from kindergarten and all the way throughout high school. And I just really thank God for that. I really do.
That's right. Cool. You've come a long ways, and you've overcome so much, and you went through so much, and God definitely is using you right now to do his work and to pass on that message.
Ooh,
and,
yes.
And to touch many, many, many lives. You know, he's using
yes.
you. So allow
and
him to use you and, you know, continue
yes.
the
God
work that you're doing. And you know, we're really proud and, you know, just really glad that you're able to do what you're doing because
yes.
you can help
yes.
so many.
Yes, and I really thank God for my marriage. It's just awesome. I don't know no other way to explain it. And, you know, I know that God has many opportunities and doors, and he's going to continue to open up for me because I serve a purpose to the people. And anytime you're helping the people and not being selfish, God will open up the doors for you. Because you're trying to help the next person survive.
That's right. He sure does. He opens the doors and he'll make a way, he'll provide a way for you to continue what he wants you to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure. Well, we just want to thank you so much for coming on our show and sharing your story. And we could probably talk all night, but I know it's really late for you guys and you have to get up and go to work. We'll have to have you back again sometime on our show so you can share more of your story.
Okay.
And
I really thank you guys for having me out.
Make sure that you join our movement website. It's a social network, and you can add all your information on there as well. And
oh yes, I saw that on your website.
Yes, join that. Put your profile page up, and then you'll get all of our emails and things that we send out. And,
okay.
Let's keep in touch and network. And
okay.
One of these days, maybe we can get together and do something.
Yes, yes.
Continue
yes,
helping the kids because
yes.
that's our goal, you know, to educate the kids about the, you know, drugs,
yes.
gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and, you know, the whole picture. And it all kind of comes together.
Yes. I'm working on my documentary right now. We start my documentary in a couple of weeks, actually. And, that is going to be, because I want my book to be a movie. Well, God had already told me when I was doing the manuscript, he said, this book is a movie. And so, you know, it's going to take some time, but you're going to see the unless door, and I know you're going to run out and purchase that ticket.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's going to be a tough thing for you to go through, watching that be made, I think.
Can't you see that being a movie?
Yeah, I could see it being a movie, but I could see it's going to be hard on you.
Yeah, it will be.
That story needs to be told.
Yes, I'm definitely not going
to
play any roles.
No.
But I wanna make sure that I let them know if they miss anything, if they leave anything out, I'm gonna know it.
Right. Because you want it to be real. As real as it can get, because the real story needs to be told, not made up or we can't include them because it's too bad. No, you know what? It was bad and it needs to be told.
Yes, yes, yes. And my husband said, oh, my goodness, I can see the drama with you sitting up in the it has to be right. And so I start my documentary, and, you know, I'm going to get that off So hopefully Dr. Phil or somebody, you know, will receive that. You know, but the hardest part is going back to the neighborhoods and my grandmother's old home. You know, it's a bandit now. It's boarded up. But just to think about it, just, you know, I'm trying to gather my strength now because, and then the old schools that I used to go to growing up, just trying to do a documentary in those areas is not going to be easy. So because I've been restored, you know, sometimes those are very touching moments. They're very touching.
And they bring up a lot of the old memories and thoughts and things that you went through when you were there.
Yes, yes. It's like the other day I was in a store and I was telling three young women about my book. And as I was stating to them, I'm a rape victim survivor and a suicide defeater, next thing you know, I just burst out into tears. I couldn't control it, and I couldn't even talk. And I didn't even understand what was going on because usually I'm all bubbly and stuff. And just I had a moment. And something in my mind just clicked and said, you are a rape victim. You are a suicide defeater. And it was like something had registered and said to me, oh, my God, you have been through all this trauma, and you're just out here just trying to uplift everybody. And it was just like I had went into a meltdown, and I couldn't even talk to the three ladies. And then one of the ladies said, it's okay. We're all rape victims as well.
Right. You know, and maybe God allowed you to have that meltdown in order to touch their hearts or to share some common experience with them.
Yes. That's what we did, too, right in the parking lot. That's exactly what we did. And all of those ladies were multicolored. Two of them was African American, and one of them was Caucasian. And the Caucasian lady said, "I was raped. I was just raped recently." And no wonder. I was like, something felt really heavy when I was trying to tell those ladies that I was a rape victim survivor, and I was telling them about my book. Something very heavy just touched me, and I just broke, and I did not know I was surrounded around rape victims.
Wow.
Until they said something.
Yeah.
After they were trying to encourage me from, you know, when I was crying and stuff. And I was like, wow, maybe that's what it was. I don't know. And like you said, it allows us to share.
Right.
Shared our stories, and it was just like, wow, it was so powerful. So,
you know, you're underestimated. And not only are you all that, you're a survivor.
Whew.
And
yes.
You're here to share that.
Yes. And I've been getting a lot of help from a lot of different people, all types of race. And that just lets you know that people are hurting everywhere. I don't care who you are. People are hurting everywhere, and I'm a people person, and I like to connect with people. And it, like, I have passed out some information about my book, and this young lady, she was a black young lady, and she's a nurse, and she was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give your card to my friend. And, you know, she's into, when she seen my card and she seen my book on the front of the card, she was like, oh, she's into, she loves black books. She's into black books. And I looked at her and I said, oh, excuse me, can I have my card back? I said, can I have my card back?
That's right.
I need to read it. Because,
yeah.
Rape
and
violence
about
a black book
is not racist, believe me. It's in every neighborhood, suburb, ghetto, white, black,
oh my
Chinese.
God.
I mean, it doesn't discriminate.
Yes.
Violence, it does not discriminate.
God, I just cannot believe that. I just cannot believe this. This can't be what. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, I thought I lost you.
I said, this can't be what she just said. I just don't believe this. She hadn't even, I told her the story.
What are you talking about? It's like people are so lost. People are so lost out here. They wouldn't know how to see information if it jumped up and slapped them in the face. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy. I went to a nursing home where a lot of nurses was at, and I asked those nurses, I said, hi, I'm Sylvie Latham, blah, 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 wrote a book, do you like to read? I say, what is going on? I've never seen so many nurses that don't read, and I'm wondering, I want to say, how did you
get through school?
Because most nurses, just about every nurse I could find has purchased my book already. But some of these places you go to, they say they don't even read. I'm like, are you serious? How do you read the patient's information?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And everything you have. And
we've got the same thing, too, with Rob's book. You know, he tells people, oh, do you read? And he wants to show them the book, and they're like, no, I don't read. I'm like, what is up with that?
What is up with you?
Read?
You know, and some of the people are in their 50s. Now, the young people, you know, I ran into some young people. They said they don't read. I'm like, okay, young people need to mature a little bit. You know, but there are a lot of young people who like to read. Like my oldest daughter, she loves to read, and I think I'm irritated by it because I strive so hard trying to make it in school growing up as a child, and when I hear that people don't like to read, it really irritates me because I came from nothing.
Right.
I came from nothing. And you're sitting here telling me you don't read, and everything, just about everything you need is placed in a book. Everything you need is in a book somewhere.
Well, you can learn anything from just reading.
Yes.
It's a book or on the internet or anywhere.
Yes.
You can educate yourself by reading, period.
I mean, you can get well from a sickness by reading.
Right.
By reading something that can cure your illness.
Right.
Now, how are you picking up your medication when you don't read? I mean, I don't understand how nurses don't read. It's just, I'm just really, like, scratching my head on that.
Well, I think those people are just kind of the ones that are closed-minded and just don't even want to talk about getting a book.
I ran up on, like, four nurses. And two of them was in the same facility, and I thought to myself, maybe it's time for you guys to retire, because anytime you don't read, then you don't need to be working around patients.
Exactly.
That's scary. Exactly. Somebody better not come to me and tell me they don't read, and they my nurse.
Right. Definitely. Time to get another nurse. Or go to a different facility. That might tell you something about the facility.
It's a lot of testing. It's a lot of testing. And I'm wondering, how did you pass the test to get here?
Exactly. Yep.
So we're very poor in the lack of knowledge. The Bible said we destroy by the lack of knowledge. And we're very poor. When it comes, and there's so much technology today, no one should be poor in knowledge. That's the part of the world that's going to miss out because they don't read anything.
Exactly.
But
true.
I really enjoy talking to you, you guys.
You,
I really do. So, you know, but
well,
I will
be
looking
forward
to working
with you in the future. And
okay. That's great.
Work and keep in touch with us. And
yes, I will let you guys know when that facility comes in hand as well, because me and my husband, we have a Restoration Foundation, a nonprofit organization, and we're looking for a home
so that we can turn it into a restoration foundation facility for homeless teens, abandoned and homeless teens. So that's what that's what my goal is.
Awesome. That's good.
Yep. That's my goal. So my husband said a lot of houses is going cheap now, so we can purchase your one.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Let us know.
So that's what
let
I want to do.
Doing that.
I believe I'm going to leave a legacy behind my name when I die. It's going to be
that's
a legacy.
Right. That's what it's all about, leaving a legacy, a positive legacy behind. And that you made a difference. That's right. That's what we're doing. We're trying to make a difference and leave that legacy.
Yes. So now you see why I'm alive.
That's right. God has a plan. He's using you.
Okay.
Well, we are going to close out tonight. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And we'll keep up with you and we'll, you know, like we said, network. We're going to go out with a song tonight, a brand new artist out of Detroit, Michigan. He's with a new record label there called Grand Slam Records, and this is Kendall Day. And this is his first single that just came out, I believe. So we're going to play this called All For You, Kendall Day. And enjoy listening to the song. Please join us every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And have a great week and join us back here next Wednesday night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
And encourage somebody to don't let nobody take your book from you. Encourage them to get their own copy.
That's right. Oh, I will. I definitely will. And make sure you put your information up on our website so we can continue getting that message out there.
Yeah.
And we have it ready with Facebook and everything too. So
yes.
We can get that message out. All right.
Thanks so much.
You guys have a great night. Get some rest.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
For you, baby. Everything is all for you. Hey.